This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
The gift of these two images of fire and wind, that can take place. Two incredible images. Last night, we had this Pentecost vigil up here with the seven flames of Pentecost here, where Charles and the band are. And the flames from those fires created some heat, and those white cloths started to sway. The heat created movement. It is that fire of the Holy Spirit that is meant to create movement within us, but it needs to be a controlled burn. Y'all heard of controlled burns in nature? Have a little video that talks about controlled burns.
We've suppressed fires for a lot of years here, and that creates a larger fuel load on the ground, which means when there is a fire, it's a lot hotter, it's bigger, it spreads easier, it's more catastrophic. So we choose areas that need to have fire introduced again in order to reduce that fuel load.
Tip it, fuel cords out. This is the wick right here, so it keeps it lit.
The process is very complicated. It takes years sometimes to get an area approved for a prescribed fire. We are looking at time of year, weather that we have, so we make sure that it's fire that we can manage, and it's gonna also give us the fire effects that we need. And we are looking at what are good contingency lines. We put in buffers in terms of roads, or we dig hand line, put in dozer line. So we make sure we know exactly what the borders of that fire is gonna be. And then we're talking about topography. So where do we want to start the fire so that it's running a direction that we can manage?
You're gonna be going big, so I believe you'll probably be up there on that hand line, helping me out up there.
They're gonna do a small test fire and just see how it's consuming, how hot it's burning, what direction it's going. If that goes well, they're gonna commence with the actual burning operation. So they're gonna burn the blocks according to their plan. And while they have igniters burning, they also have what we call holding resources all around on the borders of the fire. We also, since this is near a community, have fire trucks stationed at the homes that are right along the edge.
And we're gonna come up the mic road. Okay, we're gonna come south on the mic road till we run into fire. Turn around and come back. That makes sense?
After we've done ignitions, the rest of the day is patrolling and making sure that there's no spots outside of the line, the fire stays within our prescription area, and everything looks good. And that is continued for the next couple days. So it is not just a one-day burn. Multiple days people are coming out here, patrolling the perimeter, making sure there's no spots, and checking to ensure that the fire stays within the zone.
The important takeaway from that little video is how much planning it takes to achieve a successful controlled burn. If we're to take that metaphor and this fire of the Holy Spirit with the wind that is instilled within each one of us, there is a lot of planning that we need to do for our own personal controlled burn. Now, to complete this little metaphorical exploration, I use an example that I used some years ago. If you go way back in St. Joseph's, you might remember this. But it takes me back to my own life in 1978. Next one. There we go. I had a Beatles haircut. I thought I was so cool. And those of you who go back to those days, remember how long it took and how much care to get that exact look with the swoop across the forehead there. And you always had to have one of these at your beck and call. Now, What happened to me was in 1978, when I was on the Roman side of things, they sent me off to seminary to Rome. Well, if I was going to Rome, I still had to look cool like this. So I had to have one of these. The problem was, when I got there and took a shower for the first time and tried to plug it in, I didn't realize that I didn't have the adapter for it to plug it in. We have to be plugged in. Now, I want you to just hang on to that concept for a minute. We have to be plugged in. Jesus has told the disciples to stay together and wait and pray for the Spirit to come. There is something about us being together in community that enables the wind and the fire of the Holy Spirit to come down. We are not meant to live this Christian journey alone. The true call to be a hermit is few and far between. For us to remain faithful and joy-filled and having that peace that Jesus talks about today, we are meant to be part of a church community. And no church community is perfect. It is important for us to stay connected. That's why it's in our baptismal promises that we say we will remain faithful to the breaking of bread and the prayers, because that is the only way that we will have the collective strength to move forward. So we need to be plugged in. The second thing that happened, I got the blow dryer when I got to Italy, and Italians are famous for their different ways of doing things, and nothing, it's all counterintuitive. I couldn't figure out how to turn the thing on. There was no switch. And it turned out, somebody had to show me, a local, that you actually turned the unit to get the power to connect. It has to be turned on. What is it that you are passionate about? This becomes crucial for us on our journey. We go to the next one here. And in worship, of course, in fellowship with being plugged in, we go to being turned on. That has to do with the next one. No fear. Perfect love casts out all fear. We can't be afraid of what God might be calling us to go for. And then there's a third one, and it goes like this. I had a blow dryer. I got the adapter. I figured out how to turn it on. It was a 110 voltage, and I was in Italy, which is on 220. Do you know what happens when you plug a blow dryer in, a 110 blow dryer, to a 220 outlet? You dry your hair. You singe your hair. You have the wind and the fire of Pentecost. It's not a controlled burn. There needs to be control. We need to be careful. And I preach this to myself as much to all of us. If we're not careful, we can work ourselves in ministry to death. And we are good not to God, not to any man or woman on the face of this earth, if it's just work, work, work. We go to the next one. We got to keep that long-term view in mind. Go to the next slide. A couple years ago, actually more than a couple, we did the Saddleback Spiritual Gifts Program. And it took a viewpoint of this, and it's an important one for us to remember. It's an acronym, S-H-A-P-E, each letter standing for something that's important. The S has to do, first of all, with our spiritual gifts, of knowing what those are. We just had over 100 of us just went through that process to remember, if we didn't know already, what those gifts were, to remember what they are. But then you have to go to the H, the heart. This is about the passion. This is about being turned on. This is about understanding what excites me. What do I love to do? If I love to do music, well, maybe that's my ministry that I need to look at. But if it's not my passion, it's not my ministry. I tell folks all the time, if you don't like to smile at people, your ministry is not to be an usher in this church or a greeter. That's qualification number one. So what is my passion? What do I love to do? Then the next one is equally important, and that's the abilities. What abilities do I have? You know, I can have a great heart for something, a great passion, but it's just not the ability God has gifted me with. But what are my abilities? And good clues to that. Well, what do I excel in my work or in my school? It's a good clue into those abilities. And then we come to the next one, personality. Do I know my personality? Myers-Briggs is a great thing to get a handle on, knowing whether I'm an introvert or an extrovert. Do I get charged up by being with people, or do I get charged up and re-energized by being by myself? Well, if I'm an introvert, I don't really want to choose a ministry where I'm always going to be with a bunch of people because it's going to drain me. And if my ministry calls me to do that, then I'm going to have to find those times when I can be alone or in a smaller group. What is my personality? And then lastly, my experience. Things happen to us in our lives. Good things, bad things. God doesn't cause them, but they happen. But God can use anything that happens to us. And the experiences that we go through can give us a great insight into perhaps how God is calling me to take that wind and that fire within me and use it for good. Horrible things sometimes happen. But we have people, even in our own church, who came down suddenly finding out they have a cancer. But through the miracle of modern medicine and God's incredible healing, they have been healed and cured. Well, that experience enables them to be incredibly compassionate ministers to the next person that they know of, either in this parish or beyond, who is inflicted with the same disease. We all know, those who are in recovery, that those who are in recovery become great mentors to those who know they need to go into recovery. We know that for parents who have lost a child, that once their grief has subsided enough that God has enabled them to have strength to move on, that they can become incredible ministers because of their experience to those who have to go through the same thing. And it can be the same thing on the positive side as well. We have students in our own congregation who went through that just scary, hard process of applying, of going through the interviews. They want to get into a magnet school or a charter school, and they're nervous as all get out, but they have mentors on the other side of that who've gone through it and got through it, and they can help through their experience others. This is a great way of looking at what we are called to do. So the question on the next slide that we are left with for ourselves: how is the fire of your baptism transforming you? The Holy Spirit comes down today in this story in wind and fire. We are called to incorporate that in our own life. You know, we go back 6 months and love came down from heaven at Christmas. And there were people of different backgrounds, different languages, different capabilities, shepherds as well as kings. And they came and they left transformed and helped to spread the good news of Jesus. Here we are at the other end of that bookend. Love come down again in the Holy Spirit. And people were gathered from different countries, different languages, different backgrounds. And inspired by that, they went out and transformed the face of the earth. May we look at our shape. May we stay plugged in, turned on, and above all, a controlled burn, so that we too might transform the face of the earth. Happy birthday. Amen.